relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Seeing things you people wouldn't believe.
You want to talk to God? Let's go see him together.
Anything you want?
Yes. Night, Papa. What was that?
Can't say. What do you make of it, Rihanna?
Maybe hyena bought him.
Maybe. Well, come on.
That was a human cry.
Human.
Human, yes. Or is it? Lord Greystoke, Tarzan, the ape man from the pre-Hays Code, a 1932 movie, Tarzan with Johnny Weissmuller. Jane with her father, the explorer, in the African bush, hearing for the first time that iconic shout that would lead to six movies starring Johnny Weissmuller as the Ape Man. I'm so excited about this review. I hope my co-host is too. He's Mr. Reagan. He's the Alpha Critic. He's Chris Coles. Chris, have you seen Tarzan the Ape Man before?
I had never seen this film. And let me say, I did actually watch my fair share of Tarzan productions whilst growing up. I remember, I mean, I'm talking about like age 3, 4, 5, because it was always on TV, but I could never tell you what they were, if they were the serials, if they were the films. I don't know, because I was a little kid and they were all black and white. And in doing my research for this project, I realized there's like an infinite number of Tarzans. there's like Tarzan. Like, I don't know what the deal is with Tarzan, but Hollywood, for just generation after generation after generation, just everybody loves Tarzan. And I think I know why, and we can discuss that shortly.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If you look into the various, I think I know why there are infinite varieties, comic books, TV shows, movies. Buster Crabbe, who played Flash Gordon, even he was roped in at the same time to be in Tarzan movies. Why? Because the author, Edgar Rice Burroughs, who penned this back in, I think, 1912 originally, who is a rather unusual chap. We'll talk about him as well as we go through. There he is, Edgar Rice Burroughs. He was just a bloody canny businessman. At one time, he was counted as the richest author to sell the rights to his books to be made into movies and TV show. So Edgar Rice Burroughs, super good businessman. And as a result, we have a plethora. I think, Eric, was it Disney that made the cartoon one with Phil Collins?
Yes, that was indeed in the Disney Renaissance
era. Which is, you know, a classic for my son. My son loves that movie. He's like this, you know, D1 Iron Man athlete today who can still sing you every song in that Disney movie. For me, Chris, this this movie and the five sequels with, you know, the son of Tarzan and Tarzan and Jane, the mate of Tarzan, this is my childhood, and it is my father's childhood. When this came out, my dad was just 2 years old. He watched these in Hungary as a young kid. And then, of course, they'd play, you know, on TV in England in the 70s. He was besotted with Johnny Weissmuller. I worked out why as I was researching today's review. And as a result, I'd watch these with my dad, who was also an athlete as well. So first thing, sir, I got to up front. I'm not going to wait an hour. Did you like this movie, Chris Coles?
I absolutely loved every second of it. Even the dopey looking apes, even the cheesy looking crocodiles. I loved every second of it. And I'll tell you why. There is something absolutely charming, and I've said this before, about people on a set, filmmakers on a set, everybody involved in the filmmaking process, who are doing their very absolute best.
Yeah.
Because even though, you know, some of the effects that you're seeing in this project are incredibly primitive compared to today, you can tell that the effects that they were trying to produce for the time were really the best they could do. And they were, you know, to me, it was very precise. Sure, some of the things don't look so precise to our eyes. Like I said, the apes and the crocodiles and some of the stuff like that. But it was, you can tell that a lot of care was taken to produce this thing. And it does produce something. It's art. You know, it produces something artistic, creative, an expression of an idea, of a story that really works really, really well. But first, I want to take a quick sidestep. Your son had a pretty successful athletic achievement recently, did he not?
You are so very, very kind. I actually I did a tribute to him. It's going to air on Newsmax on Sunday for the close of the show. So he did something that I don't know how you humanly do. He did an Ironman. We were in Texas in the 93-degree heat last weekend. And for those of you who aren't aware of what an Ironman is, I think we have some images of Paul. You swim 2.4 miles, then you get on a bicycle and you ride 112 miles. Then you jump off your – you're all doing this in one day, by the way. And then you jump off the bicycle and you wrap it all up by doing what? By running a marathon, which is, of course, what is 26.2 miles. So my son, who'd never done it before, trained for 4 months. He was a rower in college. You know, the training consisted of, you know, I'd come home from work and he'd say to me, Dad, I'm just getting on the bicycle for 4 hours. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
So that's what he did. And it was just a testament to, there he is with his medal after 14 hours of nonstop activity. That's him in Houston, competitor 735. And I just, this is, thank you for bringing this up, Chris. It's just a testament to the human spirit. I could tell because we were there with my family, his sister and his amazing girlfriend. And we've been following him all day and cheering him on. And he's just finished 112 miles on the bicycle. And he starts the marathon. And I'm there for mile four of the marathon. And I look at him and we're cheering him. And you wave, you shake cowbells. This is the tradition for Ironman. And I could tell he's been smiling all day. He's not smiling now. He doesn't. He's really running slowly. What's going on? Yeah. And then afterwards, as he crossed the finishing line and literally collapsed, he explained to me, my quads, after 112 miles on the bicycle, seized 4 miles into the marathon. And he said to himself, I don't know if I can run another 22 miles. My quad muscles, the biggest muscle in the body, isn't functioning. And he just said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this for my grandfather, that great athlete, and I'm going to do this to prove to myself that I can do it. So for me, I celebrated him on my Newsmax show, and I celebrated him in the context of, you know what that is? That's not about Paul Gorka. That's not even about Team Gorka or my son. That's about the American spirit. That is about the capacity to apply, to commit, and to do, and to finish. So it's incredibly gracious of you to mention that. So, yeah, he's an Iron Man. I could never have done it, but it is the spirit of America. And it kind of, you know, wends through this as well. We'll talk about who Johnny Weissmuller was and how he actually had 5 gold medals from the Olympics, 27 national records, 150 international records, and he created that roar, and he created the, of all the various permutations of Edgar Rice Burroughs' original Lord Greystoke, he is the quintessential one. We are talking the original Tarzan, the Ape-Man, 1932, with our buddy Chris Coles. Make sure you are following him right now on his superlative YouTube channels, Mr. Reagan, for political content and cultural content under the Alpha Critic, as well as his super fun live streams with his buddies Kurt and Jason, which are toxic masculinity. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is Making Movies Great Again. If you love our chats with Chris, I just the idea that we actually do this and we get to broadcast it to millions of people is just mind-blowing. If you like it, subscribe. Go to the podcast platform of your choice. Look for America First, Sebastian Gorka. Leave us a 5-star review and do share the links with your friends. Remember as a kid, your parents and grandparents making you try all the vegetables on your plate, or when they coaxed you to eat fruit instead of sweets? That's because they knew that was good for you. And it's truer today than ever before. You need to eat your fruits and vegetables. There's no substitute for a healthy diet, but there is Balance of Nature. Their products are gluten-free and non-GMO, and they contain no added sugars or synthetics. Feel better naturally and eat your fruits and vegetables every single day with Balance of Nature. Are you ready to start? Whether you order online or call them directly, you must use promo code GORKA to get this special offer of 35% off. Call them 800-246-8751 and use code GORKA, or order online at balanceofnature.com. Use discount code GORKA to get 35% off.
Father, you still haven't told me about the Mutera Scarpment.
Well, do you remember my telling you a fairy tale about the elephant?
Mm-hmm, hundreds. Which one?
The one about why one never finds a dead elephant in the jungle.
Oh, let me think. Why, of course. I remember. An elephant can always tell when death is coming for him. And when he hears the call, there's a secret place to which he wanders. A place where he can lay his bones with his ancestors. A place of rest.
That's it. The secret graveyard of the elephants. Somewhere to the east, there's a mysterious barrier of mountains called the Mutia Escarpment. And the natives won't say where that Mutia Escarpment is. It's sacred. Taboo. If one of them is found even to have looked at it, he's put to death by the witchmen of the tribe. Now, Holt and I believe that beyond that Mutia Escarpment somewhere lies the burial place of the elephants.
The one of my favorite words, escarpment. That is, of course, Jane's father, the famous African explorer. Jane, of course, played by the great Maureen O'Sullivan, and giving us the premise for why are they in Africa? They're looking for the fabled elephant's graveyard with millions of pounds worth of ivory just waiting to be discovered. Chris, I think, and tell me, you know, you're the writer, you're the actor. Some of the movies that we review have a common thread insofar as they just have one central concept that nobody else has come up with and is just simple and bloody genius. And here, what does Edgar Rice Burroughs come up with? A human who's been dropped in the midst of a jungle and raised by the apes, and then he's discovered by quote-unquote civilized humans. The simplicity of the story, I think, is half the success, is it not? When you find that truly novel concept.
Absolutely right. Half the success is exactly right. The other half is obviously the implementation. Yeah. You know, you got to bring everybody on board to really produce a great quality product, as we always talk about on the show. But yeah, that concept, that very simple concept, that's one thing whilst I was watching this film that did come to mind. It's like, this is a very simple story.
Yeah.
And there's actually this other story, the clip that you just showed, looking for this great special effect when he falls off the cliff here. Fantastic for the time. I know the radio listeners can't see it, but absolutely great effect. I remember watching that going, wow, that looks pretty good. Yeah. Like, you know, I believe that this guy's falling off the cliff. Yeah, that concept was so simple but so brilliant. Obviously, there was Tarzan iterations before this. There was the novel, and you know, even before that, it started as a short story, and there was a novel and a collection of the short stories, and then there was other films, and so it was in the public consciousness before this concept, and it was, and people loved it. You know, people thought this was a really fantastic idea, and also I really liked the clip that you showed, looking for the elephant graveyard. I love that motivation.
Yeah.
I love that motivation for going to Africa. I mean, to me, that's a totally believable thing, right? I looked up elephant graveyards. It's a myth. That's not a real thing. But for a long time, this was believed.
But it's so believable.
Oh, totally believable. I mean, I looked it up thinking, is this true?
Yeah.
Like, I believed it watching the film. And by the way, C. Aubrey Smith, who plays the the elder gentleman, Jane's father, fantastic actor, totally underrated. One of my favorite actors of all time. He was in a film called Little Lord Fauntleroy.
Yes.
Which was an absolutely brilliant film. Very old. It sort of was redone as Pollyanna. Pollyanna, they were both novels that were made into films, but Pollyanna is sort of the female version of Little Lord Fauntleroy. But both excellent movies about an eternal optimist. But anyway, C. Aubrey Smith plays the curmudgeon-y old man in that film. But in this film, he's a much more kind gentleman and fantastic, just a fantastic actor, brilliant all the way through. And anyway, so he wants to find this ivory. He believes that he could essentially be, the 1932 version of Elon Musk if he could just find this. Right. Elephant graveyard, back when you could trade ivory and it was worth like a lot of money, it was a reasonable thing to do. And so, yeah, they're out there and they have that great motivation. And then, of course, they hear the famous yell and there is this, ape man, swinging through the jungle. And he says, something like, and he's white as well. He's a white man as well or something. You know, they're just shocked. Like, I don't understand. He's not even African. What is he doing here? Essentially, I do think that this is a very sensual love story. And I think for the time, the pre-code time, that and the fact that I think that it took like more recent at the it took like contemporary filmmaking techniques and revisited the Tarzan thing in a way that was a little bit cleaner, a little bit better story. You know, everything was just clean and well produced. And I think that's really why this took off. More so, like you say, this is the quintessential Tarzan. I think this is probably, for the time, the absolute best produced Tarzan probably ever.
Yeah.
And then subsequent iterations, sequels and all everything like that. It was a phenomenon at the time, and it's still revisited to this day by people like us.
We're experiencing instability at every level. Our government lacks leadership, and Bidenomics has been a disaster. The economy is in a fragile state. Inflation has been a consistent issue. High interest rates have put significant pressure on the real estate market. There have been major bank failures, and many analysts say a stock market correction is likely overdue. We have global conflicts in Europe and the Middle East that have the potential to spread, but gold has soared to record highs even amidst the tensions. There are so many reasons that Americans should consider investments in gold and silver, and Legacy Precious Metals is the gold standard. I love Legacy Precious Metals because of their zero-hassle, education-first approach. They can help you roll your traditional IRA into a gold IRA or ship metals directly to your house. Go to legacypminvestments.com to download their free gold investing guide. I've read it, and there's so much valuable information there. Friends, now is not the time to roll the dice with your hard-earned money. Find out about the growth potential that gold offers you. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today and tell them I sent you.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolfe. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in... Anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Well, and also, you know, it is deemed to be the classic Tarzan movie. But what about this? Just the simplicity of the central concept. Let's leave the elephant graveyard behind. Just the idea that human being dropped into jungle, raised by the jungle, but becomes this kind of lord of the jungle. And then he meets up with what? Human civilization. I mean, that just is a genius concept.
Yeah, it's an exotic idea. It's an interesting idea. We like the best fiction explores an idea that we wouldn't necessarily get to explore if we were just thinking about real life. You know, if we just watch documentaries. And this is why I think you and I are a little bit different than many conservatives. A lot of conservatives, they don't watch fiction. But you and I, we love fiction because to us, I do think it is an exploration into the human condition. Even if it is not necessarily what you can find in real life. I think a lot of people think, oh, you can find everything in real life and examine the psychology and everything. Sometimes it's fun to go beyond the bounds of reality and explore something a little bit different, just to think about how people would act and react to that. And I think, you know, this is a little bit of an in-depth reading of this, but I do believe, and this is why I brought up your son being such a phenomenal athlete, because, you know, your son is could potentially be the modern day Tarzan. He could play the next Tarzan. But, you know, I've been thinking, I talked to you about it, like, what is being cool? Being cool, the basis of being cool is athleticism. If you're an athletic person and you're wearing a suit and tie, you've got that grace, you've got that control over your body, that confidence, that people see that. You have control, you have confidence, you're cool. They can't quite explain it, but it starts with a baseline of athleticism. And there is this core desire, I think, with almost just about every man, even scrawny, nerdy guys, you know, that everybody wants to be Tarzan. Everybody wants to be that guy that can jump on a leopard and kill it with his bare hands, you know, to save the girl. This is the concept of the I don't want to say feminist because it's doing her an injustice by today's standards. But she is a precocious woman. She wants adventure. She wants excitement. She's bold. She's brave. So much so that she gets into situations that may be a little bit too dangerous. And so who comes along but the brave, strong Tarzan? Maybe he's not the smartest guy in the world, but she is drawn to him because it's, you know, through this animal instinct. He is the alpha male, the ultimate alpha male, really, Tarzan is. And she, even though she's this headstrong woman, she turns into the feminine damsel in distress who just falls into his arms. And we see men and women sort of in their most fundamental sense as they should be. Yes. And it's really every man's fantasy and every woman's fantasy, really. But we mess it up in society these days. We mess it up.
Yeah, we're going to explore the deeper themes momentarily. I'll just add one thing. Everybody, every guy wants to be Tarzan, but not just because of the physicality that makes you cool. It's also the presence. You can't, it's not just, you know, bench pressing 300. You've got to have the presence that when you walk into a room, you dominate, right? That's what it's about. It's the attitude, not just the physicality of it. We're talking Tarzan, the Ape Man, Johnny Weissmuller, Maureen O'Sullivan. 1932. If you enjoy what we do here, make sure you're following us on social media. Chris is at Mr. USA or Mr. Reagan USA on Twitter. Just look for me, Seb Gorka, Sebastian Gorka, on all the social media platforms. This is a movie review, so you can watch us on your television as well, your Roku, your Fire Stick, or just download the Salem News Channel app. And my latest article is up on Substack, how I dealt with the Washington Post the day before yesterday, sebastiangorka.substack.com. Ammunition is a hard asset, something that is tangible like gold. The value never goes to zero. In fact, in times of uncertainty and inflation, the value of ammunition only goes up. Not to mention, ammo can be difficult to find, but I have a solution for you. Ammo Squared. In these tough times, Ammo Squared offers a unique and budget-friendly way to invest in ammunition, like an Ammo 401k or Ammo Savings account. Set it up and have ammo for that rainy day when store shelves go empty and ammunition is hard to find. There is no minimum to buy, no memberships needed, and no extra fees. Buy ammo on a small budget, then watch it grow over time like a savings account. As ammunition builds up in your account, it is stored for free in a climate-controlled warehouse, secured, insured, and safe from threats until you need it. Ammo Squared helps you stay stocked up on ammunition automatically. It is truly the set it and forget it ammo purchasing program. Pick your calibers, set your budget, select a shipping trigger, and that's it. Visit them now at ammosquared.com and join today. ammosquared.com.
thank you for protecting me.
Me?
I said thank you for protecting me.
Me?
No. I'm only me for me.
Me?
No. To you, I'm you.
You?
No. I'm Jane Parker. Understand? Jane. Yes, Jane. You? Jane. And you.
Tarzan.
If you know anything about Tarzan, you can do the you can do the yell, and you can do the me Tarzan, you Jane. Those are the two things you know about Tarzan, that quintessential moment from the first big success movie, Johnny Weissmuller with Jane. I have to make one observation here, given that this is the pre-Hays Code era, 1932. There's a scene very early on in the movie. Jane has just met her dad, been reunited in Africa. We're going to play it, and she's staring at the mirror. She takes off her blouse, and she starts taking off her makeup with some kind of cleanser. Do you have that imagery? Do you have that? Okay, so, Eric, do you have... Okay, good, it's coming up. I don't know about you, Chris. I mean, I know we're deluged with oversexed things. Pornography is everywhere. But for 1932... this pretty, pretty woman staring into the camera, quote unquote, the mirror, with her décolletage rather low. I thought this was a flipping racy movie, at least for 1932. You?
Oh, 100%. Actually, it occurred to me throughout watching this film, because she is a very sexy woman.
Yeah.
And it's really just about how she flirts with a man.
Yeah.
Right? Like how flirtatious she is. She's flirtatious with everyone, essentially. But they show things in this movie that I don't think you would often see in any films. And the reason they get away with it is because Tarzan is too simple, too
he's brutish. He's too brutish.
He doesn't understand the mores of society. So you can kind of get away with him sort of examining and exploring Jane in a way, and then the two of them having these sorts of little moments that you would have, and I think we've all had with a woman privately, and you know, these little intimate moments where they're just touching each other's hand, even that little moment where they're just touching each other's hands. And she's like, oh, yeah, there's a big difference in size. Do you like that difference? You know, this little flirtatious moment. And it really is reminiscent of, like, real relationships that you would actually have in real life, that I've, you know, moments that I've had with women. And it's like, wow, they you know, it's really evocative what they were able to create. And I do think that at the time, this was like borderline pornography is what I was thinking. I'm not 100% sure about that, but I think it was a bit tantalizing for people at the time. This was actually made on the heels of another film. If you watch the trailer for this, I forget what they called it. I have it here. But there was a film the year before called Traitor Horn. Traitor Horn, which sounds like the stupidest name ever for a film, which is probably why it didn't have sequels to it. But Traitor Horn was the adventures of a real-life African big game hunter. He was a guy that went out and he killed elephants for ivory at the time. He wrote his memoirs, and they made a film about his life, but they fictionalized it. So, but it was similar to Tarzan in that there's a lot of footage of wild animals and stuff like this, and then they go into the jungle, and there is a wild white woman in the jungle, but she's like evil, and she's the queen of this tribe of Africans, and then there's of course a romance and everything, but she dresses in these very scantily clad outfits, and that was a hugely successful film. We've never heard of it to this day because, you know, obviously it's been eclipsed by Tarzan, but that was the impetus, and it was directed by exactly the same director, the same director that did this film and Thin Man. And they said, that was so good, why don't we have you do something else similar? Let's have you do Tarzan. And one thing that I thought was interesting is that I always had assumed anytime you see a Jane in that sort of torn up dress, you assume that it's been because of the ravages of the jungle. But if you watch the film, it's because she's been tearing bits off of it to use as bandages for Tarzan. So that's why she sort of looks... you know, her dress is all torn up in the film.
And then not to mention that whole, and it's not racy, but it's definitely sensual, is that, you know, they have to have scenes of Tarzan in the water because, of course, the actor Johnny Weissmuller was a 5-time Olympic gold medalist. He was the fastest swimmer in the world at that time. And so when he's kind of swimming through the water, holding Jane in his arms, she's wearing that diaphanous safari outfit that has been ripped up, torn. She's ripping up bandages out of it. She's wet in the water. And as you say, this is 1932. It's really quite stunning. And I think we're finally coming up to the cut I requested, where she, you know, has just arrived off the boat or what have you. She's met her father, the adventurer, Mr. Parker. And then she starts to refresh herself, take off her makeup, looking directly into the camera. Her blouse is, you know, very low-cut blouse. I don't know really how they got away with this in 1932. I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah, it's one of the things that probably caused the Hays Code to exist, right? You know, just films like this. But yeah, just a very, you know, what's interesting about this? They did not cast the most beautiful woman, I think, at the time. Like, there were other actresses I think were probably a little bit more beautiful. She is very attractive. She's a very cute girl. But she is, like I said, it's the way she talks, the way she acts, the way she moves. This is the kind of X factor. I think every guy kind of knows this, right? As you're growing up, you see a girl, maybe she's not the prettiest girl in your class, but you're just mesmerized by this girl. And why? Just some girls just have that thing, whatever it might be. And she definitely has it. And it's, you know, it's displayed, you know. And that's a weird thing. You don't always need it to just to be like, you know, nudity and sex scenes and, you know, this sort of gratuitous nudity and this sort of thing. You can have something that's a little bit more subtle, a little bit more artful, and it can still sort of evoke the same kind of response. We're just thinking, wow, this girl is unbelievable, you know?
Did you know that 84% of New Year's resolutions fail in the first 6 weeks? That's got me thinking about PhD weight loss and nutrition and why it was a success for me. Why I haven't gained 1 pound of my 42-pound weight loss back. Why Jeff, my producer, decided to start the program. Most people blame their failure on a lack of time, motivation, and a loss of zeal. PhD makes it simple. It doesn't take a lot of extra time. They are masters of motivation. You have a team of coaches by your side the whole time, and you don't lose your zeal because every week you make great strides, so you stay excited. Do something different this year and call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, 864-644-1900 to get started, or online at myphdweightloss.com. Don't do this alone. The number, 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com.
Tarzan, what am I doing here, alone, with you? Perhaps I better not think too much about that. Just to be here, be happy, and I am happy. Not a bit afraid. Not a bit sorry.
It's interesting what you said, Chris, because I, after you kind of skewered me the last time I said that somebody wasn't pretty, and you said, of course she is, but you agreed with me on this one. Maureen O'Sullivan isn't a knockout stunner, but she sells it, and it's hard to sell, especially here, because why? Johnny Weissmuller, who grew up, you know, amongst the apes, doesn't know any English. So she's basically talking to a mute who learns a couple of words by the end of the movie. But nevertheless, they sell this budding romance that leads to her staying in the jungle after they find the elephant's graveyard. I mean, that's quite a feat.
Yeah, actually, it starts a bit scandalous. And they even have this scene at the very beginning in the trailer where when he first sort of kidnaps her, because Tarzan kidnaps Jane.
Yes.
That's in this
he
movie
swoops
anyway.
In
that
and
is
kidnaps
how
her.
They meet.
Yeah.
He kidnaps her. And he drags her into one of his little tree forts that he's got. And she thinks that he's going to take advantage of her. That's very obvious. She's screaming for him to let her go. He doesn't take advantage of her. He just wants to examine her. She's his curiosity. This is the way I think we read it, right? He has this animalistic instinct. This is something beautiful. This is something that, for whatever reason, I have this compulsion. I must have this thing.
He's never seen a woman.
Right. He's never seen a woman. Right. But he has that natural instinct, that impulse, that animalistic impulse that we all have. Right. I think that is what is so compelling about this very simple concept is that if you strip all of the sophistication away from men and you bring us down to this animalistic level, this is what's so exciting about fiction. Right. You explore this idea of what if you strip off all of our, you know, the nonsense, the phony stuff.
Yeah.
Right. What do you get? You get this sort of animalistic guy, but he's still a good man. He still has a good heart. He's still gentle with her. And what happens is that she doesn't want to leave him. Once she's with him long enough, she's found again by the party. She doesn't want to run off to the party. She starts crying, telling him, I have to leave you. This is my father. He loves me, but I don't want to. And they're having a lot of fun. Like you said, in the water, they're swimming together. And she says something like, you know, I find you very attractive. And then she pauses and kind of laughs at herself. And she says, I love being able to tell a man, you know, talk to a man and he doesn't understand anything I say. Right.
Because
a woman would just not have said something like that in normal society.
Yeah.
But there she can. And that's the thing. They could be more honest with each other. And I think that's what they were kind of exploring with this film and with the concept of Tarzan generally. It's like strip us from all of the phoniness. And maybe this is what you get. And that's something I think we can all like.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And taking us back to a kind of simplicity in the relationship between men and women. He got to say about six words in a rather long movie, an hour 40, which was unusual for the 1930s. So let's find out a little bit about this man, Johnny Weissmuller, and who he was before he became Tarzan.
For Johnny, a well-built teenager, the temptation to be recruited as a small-time hoodlum lay no further than the next street corner. But by good fortune, Johnny took a job at the Illinois Athletic Club, where his extraordinary swimming talent was discovered by Coach Bacharach. Their partnership proved to be the turning point in the life of the poor kid from the Chicago streets. A few years later, sports writers vote Weissmuller as one of the most promising American athletes of his day. They dub him the American Hurricane and marvel at his unique style. Weissmuller's head above the water defies all the accepted techniques of swimming.
That young man, who I now know why my dad was such a fan of his, was actually, may have grown up in Chicago, was born in Hungary, was born in the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Johnny Johann Peter Weissmuller, ethnic German, born in what is today Romania, became a five-time gold Olympian. Saved 70 plus people in his life as a, you know, swimming rock star, and became Tarzan, a man who did all of that, if you were watching us, swam in a very unusual style with his thorax and his head above the water, which should have slowed him down. But for some reason, here he is breaking a world record in one of his early races. Your thoughts on the man who didn't get much to say, but man, did he look good while he was swinging through the jungle?
Yeah. You know, like I was watching a little behind the scenes thing, a little documentary thing about this. And the narrator proposed an interesting idea. He said that almost all the people who played Tarzan, they weren't actors. They were athletes.
Yes.
And what made that possible was that there was just no dialogue. You know, they just had to be physically strong. And the feats of strength of these actors was just phenomenal. Weissmiller, I think, was lucky for a couple of reasons. One, you know, he's a good-looking guy. He's a good swimmer, like you said. He's got a physique that, but I think that's probably true of most of the Tarzan actors. He's got a physique that most men want. We yeah. want that physique, you know what I mean? And if you're to see a guy like that in the gym or in real life, you're probably going to hate him a little bit because you think, "Damn, that guy looks better than me." Yeah. That's annoying. I, by the way, identify as a 22-year-old male model. So, you know, if you disagree with that,
then you're being a model phobe.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. I'm trans handsome. So, but no, Johnny Weissmuller. But if it's a movie, it's on the screen. We're not really competing with that guy, right? That guy is a fiction. And so instead of hating him, we aspire to be like him. And that is the simple formula for this to work, I think. It's similar to Bond, right? We see Bond.
Yeah.
And we see him in these exotic locations doing this cool stuff, and we like him. And he's got the girl, and we want that girl, right? Same as Tarzan. He's in the jungle. He's doing this exotic stuff, these feats of strength we cannot possibly do. And he's got the girl. We want the girl. We want the exotic location. We want that physique. We want to be that guy. And same as Superman, you know, all these characters. I don't even know if you can make a good Tarzan movie these days. Yeah. I know they tried to. I don't know how well it came out. Margot Robbie was in it. But I never saw it. But it's this kind of simple storytelling. I think we've kind of lost it in the modern age, which is why we do this show, Making Movies Great Again. But I love that. And this movie, by the way, had a lot of fun, really, from beginning to end. There was always something fun going on, something interesting. The chimpanzee cheetah, the moment that he comes back to life, I could just imagine the audience in the theaters standing up and cheering because cheetah made it, you know. There's all these great moments in this movie. And, like, I was watching this movie incrementally because I started watching it earlier in the day. I knew I had to do Newsmax and I had to do this and then I have to do my show, and then I have something with Daisy Cousins later on. So I have all this stuff going on. I knew that, and I had to do my Muay Thai training, and I knew I
okay,
had to stop. Just kind of
I know
start
you're an incredibly
today.
Busy man. I know. Thank you.
The point I'm trying to make is I knew I would have to watch it. If I was going to watch it today, I knew I'd have to watch it in segments, which I didn't care that much about. I thought, I'll get through it. It'll be fine. I never wanted to stop watching. I would have to.
Those are the movies we review, right? Those are the movies we review. Right. Not the ones you can be on your phone or you get bored. And by the way, you may make fun of some of the special effects, but you got to give it to them. They're wrestling actual lions. Yes, they'll put a dummy in for the close-ups, but when you're wrestling first a cheetah, then a lioness, and then a lion, that's pretty ballsy. I don't know who the stunt man was, but that's a real lion right there, and a real lion has claws. So let's hear it for whoever, if it wasn't Johnny, was doubling for Johnny in these incredible.
And don't forget the wildebeest.
Oh my gosh, the wildebeest. Yeah.
Those things are very dangerous. You see that fight where he's a real man fighting a wildebeest.
What animal kills the most humans every year in Africa? It's not the tiger. It's not the lion. It's not the elephant. It's the hippos. Hippos are deadly. So
I thought that was smart that they actually put that in as being a very dangerous animal at that time. I didn't know that it was recognized all the way back then.
We're having too much fun. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. I'm coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studio. The latest product. So excited. Why? Because it means that my wife gets a good night's sleep is Relief Factor Sleep. Just listen to Katie's love for this latest product. Say a word about Relief Factor Sleep, Katie.
Okay, I will say, if I don't take it, I'm up at 4. And I love that time with the dogs, but I'd rather be asleep in bed. So when I take Relief Factor, I actually sleep till 6, even 7 o'clock in the morning. I tell you what, I'm a much happier camper.
She's a happier camper, and I'm a happier husband. It's natural. It works. It gives you that restorative deep sleep that sets you up for the next day. And most important of all, you don't wake up drowsy like all those other products. Find out for yourself why Katie gets a good night's sleep. ReliefFactor.com/sleep or call them up. 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-473-5433. ReliefFactor.com/sleep. You may have heard that Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of the big box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They have been attacked as part of the cancel culture, and so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, for $25. Brand new 4-pack dish towels. You guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. This amazing offer won't last long. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code GORKA or call 800-829-8468 today. That's code GORKA. All right, so I've already mentioned this racy footage. We've got a couple of stills here. I've got a couple of complaints. Number one, what daughter calls her dad repeatedly darling? I don't know if that was a 1930s thing. I found that a little bit creepy. And then, of course, we have the shots. Super racy for me. I mean, she's staring into the camera, supposed to be a mirror. Chris, that was pretty hot stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, she's a good-looking girl. So
what about the darling thing? What about the darling thing?
I think it was more of a, you know, a term of endearment at the time. Nobody calls anyone darling at all anymore, really.
That's true. That's true.
I tried it for a while with one of my exes.
Is that after she became your ex?
Oh, no. No. I just thought it was a cute thing, you know.
All right,
who says that anymore? I also tried to smoke a pipe at one point.
Yeah, it's never as good as it smells. Just stick to cigars. I want to say a couple of words about the author Edgar Rice Burroughs, who I researched for this. You know, when you look at somebody and they may have served in the army, they'll put, you know, branch of service, years they were in. When you look up Edgar Rice Burroughs, just get a grip on this, Chris. Military service, United States. Branch, United States Army. Years of service, 1894 to 1897. Okay? 1917 to 1919. And then, a guy who started in the 1800s, last period of service, 1941 to 1945. He held the ranks of cadet, trooper, major, and war correspondent, and he served in the following campaigns: the Apache Wars, the First World War, and the Second World War. This guy, at the age of 61, after Pearl Harbor, volunteered to join the army again, and they made him a war correspondent. I don't know about Tarzan being a cool dude. How about Edgar Rice Burroughs?
That is pretty cool. I believe it or not, I was able to guess the second and third service periods, but the first one I needed help with the first one. Okay, the Apache Wars. Okay, the famous Apache Wars. That's pretty cool. And also, I read that he lived a little while in Oregon, so I'm quite proud of that he was the fellow Oregonian for a little while. That's
there you
nice.
Go. There you go. All right, a little bit of trivia. What have we got left to note before we rate our movie for today. The film, we always talk about how much it made, cost $600,000, a lot of money back then. But, you know, if you look at the pygmy village invasion by the elephants at the end, that's going to be a little bit expensive. A lot of small people in blackface. I think that may be an issue for some modern reviewers. But it made $2.5 million. It was a massive worldwide phenomena. Weissmuller, O'Sullivan became heartthrobs across the world. And of course, it resulted in five sequels with them. We have a photograph of Tarzan with Jane, with Cheetah, and the son of Tarzan, Johnny, there. That was maybe a movie we'll review in the future. And then you spotted this. You very sly individual. What's wrong with the elephants in this movie? I can't believe they actually did this. They have very weird-looking ears because their ears aren't real. They're like bits of big floppy leather that were stuck on them because they only had Indian elephants available, which of course have smaller ears than African elephants. So they glued fake big ears on the Indian elephant. Chris, I don't know. In 1932, I, as the director, would not have been too worried about my viewers saying, is the ear a little large on a little small on that elephant? I'm not sure I would have been that circumspect.
No, and actually, the very first time you see that, he's jumping on the elephant. So my first thought was like, are they trying to hide the harness? Uh-huh. Or something like that was my first thought. And then I noticed all the elephants had these big fake ears, and I thought, okay, that can't be it. I'm like, why would they do this? I thought, they're probably Asian elephants, and they were Indian elephants, and they wanted to make them look more like African elephants. They have the bigger ears. So I figured that out. There was another little bit of trivia that I mentioned to you and that you confirmed, which was that I don't remember them ever introducing the chimpanzee Cheetah.
Yes.
I don't remember them ever introducing that name until there's just a scene where Marina Sullivan's being kidnapped with the rest of her party, her father and everybody, by the pygmies, and she screams out to the chimpanzee, Cheetah, Cheetah, go get Tarzan. Now, I do expect that because they had a radio show and they had previous iterations of Tarzan before this, that it was probably well established that there was the chimpanzee Cheetah, so it wasn't necessary for the audience. But I did I was like, wait, we didn't see her learning the name of that chimpanzee,
which is a confusing name. Sorry, because it's a chimp, not a cheetah.
Exactly. That would have been, if you didn't know, that would have been very confusing. The thing that I think was the worst for me, I can excuse the alligators, I can excuse the hippos not looking perfect, although they did look pretty good, actually, the hippos, the fake ones.
Yeah.
But, you know, the intercutting between the real and the fake was pretty good. Crocodiles, maybe not so much. But the use of both real chimpanzees and humans in chimpanzee costumes at the same time,
not smart.
That was a little jarring.
Yeah.
That was a little
especially, especially when the hoods for the fake ones were really loose. This wasn't any Planet of the Apes mask. I'm sorry. I mean, it was a guy in a loose-fitting hood.
Yeah, it wasn't the highest quality. And then the gorilla at the very end, I didn't know what it was at first, actually. It took me a second. I was like, is this supposed to be some kind of, like, Yeti? Or I don't understand what this is.
I think it was like meant to be King Kong's younger brother or something.
Exactly, yeah. This was before King Kong, this movie, so this might have been, you know, helped in the inspiration of King Kong as well. There's something similar about it, I would say.
All right, so the final thing we have to do is, any final thoughts, and then rank it. What should our unit of measure be? I was thinking maybe elephant tusks, unless you have something better.
I love elephant
tusks.
To use elephant tusks. Yeah, elegant elephant tusk, because it's so un-PC. I love it. I love it. you know, the lefties are going to hate it. Look, for the problem with this movie is that I don't know. It's very difficult to rate this, because the way I rate it, like I say every week, is that I rate it for a modern audience. What's a younger person who doesn't really know much about Tarzan? What are they going to think of it? I actually think this is not the easiest film to watch for everyone. I personally love this to bits. This, to me, honestly, to me personally, this is like 11 out of 10. Yeah. I loved every second watching this movie. But for a modern audience, I think I'm going to have to give it kind of a bad score. I don't want to, but I think it will be hard for a lot of people. So I'm going to give it like a I'll probably give it a 6 out of 10.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. If I want to be objective in the panoply of all movies, I'd give it a 9.5. But because it's so seminal to my childhood and my father's favorite movie, I'm sorry, I'm going to cheat. It's 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. Tarzan the
love
Ape
it.
Man, 10 out of 10. Guys, if you haven't seen it, if you're unfamiliar with Christophe Lambert's Greystoke or the Disney cartoon, go and see the original one. Check out Johnny Weissmuller because he is the OG Tarzan. All right, it's your turn. Chris, are we coming back into the modern age? Are we going to stick in the 30s? What is your choice for making movies great again for next time?
This was actually a tough one for me. I struggled with this because there are so many movies I want to watch and there's so many movies that I'm pretty sure you're going to hate that I love. And there's so many movies that are fun and there's just different things you could do. But I thought, you know what? Let's just pick one that we're both going to like. At least I think you're going to like this. I hope you're going to like this one. And it's considered a kind of a modern classic. It's a little bit... I mean, we're going pretty modern for us, for our movies. We're going pretty modern here. But it's a movie I think that you should like, because I think everybody likes this movie. It's a little movie called... I'll give you a line and you can guess what it is. How about that?
Yeah, do it.
I didn't kill my wife. Second line, I don't care.
I have no idea.
Some people, Eric,
do you know what that is?
I know exactly what that is. That is the Harrison Ford, Tommy Lee Jones classic, The Fugitive.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely right.
Good movie. Good movie based on a TV show, I do believe. Love it, love it, love it. All right. I'm going to haven't seen it in a while. So next week, guys, yeah. The Fugitive, chosen by my buddy, Chris Coles. Follow him right now on YouTube, Mr. Reagan and the Alpha Critic, on Twitter at Mr. Reagan USA. I'm Sebastian Gorka. If you want real men back who can swing from vines, who can wrestle lions barehanded, then put this yard sign outside your home. It's President Trump. He's an alpha male. It's his Trump 2024. It's a booking photograph from Fulton County. Get yours at SebGorkaStore.com today. And most important of all, support him at DonaldJTrump.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.